Good morning, everyone. Don't mind me, I'm just getting ready. I would encourage you to open up your Bibles or Bible apps. The page number I forgot to change for the bridge service, it is actually page 784. As Tony mentioned, we're going to be looking at the ministry of John the Baptist, and he talks about the kingdom of heaven. And my whole thought in behind this message is this idea that we are never, ever enough. I think what happens to me, at least, and maybe to some of you, is the longer we live, the more Christmas memories we get. So they start to pile up, right? And as we prepare for Christmas, it's like, okay, we have about 50 years, for some of us, of memories of Christmas, and we need to get all of those memories, have a Christmas that surpasses all of those memories this Christmas. And we set ourselves up for failure. That we're never, ever enough. And today, I pray that we can find that the kingdom of heaven is enough. So take a look with me at John the Baptist's ministry, Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People were coming out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that not even these that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So as Matthew records John's ministry, and he will use the exact same words as he begins to record Jesus' ministry, that their message is summarized in this simple sentence: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." I call it a simple sentence, and yet there is a phrase in there that is hard to grasp. What does it mean that the kingdom of heaven is near? And that's really what I want to focus on today, is this whole idea of the kingdom of heaven. Now, first of all, the kingdom of heaven is a synonym for kingdom of God. Matthew, in his gospel, 30 times uses the phrase kingdom of heaven. Luke, in fact, he's the only gospel writer who uses kingdom of heaven. Luke and Mark, when they record the same events, they will use the word or the phrase kingdom of God. Now, perhaps that's because Matthew was writing to people of Jewish background. And when they heard the phrase kingdom of God, perhaps they were thinking back to the time of Solomon and the extent of Solomon's kingdom. And when they heard the phrase, "The kingdom of God is at hand," they were thinking, great, there is going to be a king who sits on an earthly throne, and he will extend some earthly territory. He will control territory, the kingdom of God, and we'll enjoy that kind of prosperity here on earth. So perhaps that's why Matthew, writing to people of Jewish background, uses the phrase kingdom of heaven instead to help them and to help us think more in terms of where the king of heaven is where the kingdom of heaven is. So I'm using a picture from a church stained glass window of King Solomon as a symbol of the king who was coming into the world. John the Baptist was preparing the way for a king. And this king was going to come and reign. And his reign was a heavenly reign, a spiritual reign. And the reason why I want to use this imagery of King Solomon is the way that 1 Kings describes King Solomon's reign. It says, during Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel lived in safety, everyone under their own vine and their own fig tree. This whole idea of safety, that's what made Solomon's kingdom something to long for again. Not the extent of territory, but that God's people could live in safety. And when John the Baptist comes and says, I am bringing news of a new king and a new kingdom, he was promising a kingdom where we would enjoy the perfect safety that Solomon's kingdom only could picture. So what is the safety that you enjoy in the kingdom of heaven? First of all, you and I enjoy the safety of the king's mercy. For those of you who are on our email list, every day I'm sending out a chapter of Luke with the goal of we will read through Luke's gospel in this month of December. If you're not getting the email, just make sure that you put your email on a connection card and we'll send that out to you. I just realized, oh yeah, your connection cards are already passed in. Write it on a sheet of paper on something and give it to somebody and we'll get it. And those of you who are online, connect with us through the website. Anyway, we're reading through the Gospel of Luke to prepare ourselves to celebrate the coming of the King on Christmas Day. And yesterday's reading was Luke chapter 7. And in Luke chapter 7 is where Jesus is anointed by a sinful woman. And I just love that picture that here the King welcomes a woman who just is not enough. A woman that everybody else goes, ooh, we don't want anything to do with her. You and I live in perfect safety because the King of heaven is a King of mercy who will not draw himself away from failures like us. See, this is part of the reason why I really don't like the Christmas season is because I feel like I am a failure over and over again. Because, you know, Christmas should be perfect for my family. And the harder I try, the more I realize I can't make that happen. I'm a failure. And very often when I fail, then what happens is I get angry and I get upset. And everybody around me suffers. It's especially at this time of the year that I realize that I'm not enough on my own, and I appreciate anew that the King came to show mercy to sinners like me and like you. In the kingdom of heaven, where the King of heaven rules, we're safe because we are under his mercy. We're safe also because of his power to protect us. As you read through the Gospels, you're just amazed at the King's power. There is nothing that he cannot do. And what a comfort that is as we walk into the Christmas season and there are things that trouble us and fill us with worry, to remember that we have a King who has the power to take care of every problem, including some of the day-to-day problems that keep us awake at night. Brothers and sisters, we are safe in the kingdom of the King of Heaven because he has the power to help us in every problem. But that doesn't mean that everything's going to go just the way we would want this Christmas season. You know, John the Baptist's ministry, do you remember how John the Baptist's ministry continues after this account? John the Baptist is thrown into prison, and then he's beheaded. And while he's in prison, he sends some of his disciples to Jesus and says, you know, are you the one who was to come or not? Because this doesn't make any sense. If you are the merciful king and the all-powerful king, then why am I sitting in prison? And Jesus responds to John's disciples by saying, look at the miracles and know that I'm the one that you were waiting for. It's just a reminder to us that we are safe, not because we know that the king will make everything work out the way we want, but that in his wisdom, he will make everything work out the way he wants. That he is able because he loves us and he has the power over all things and the wisdom to see what the following consequences will be, that he is making everything work out for our good. And ultimately, the safety of the kingdom of heaven that you and I enjoy is that we have a king whose life will never end. And he promises that our life will never end as well. And that helps us understand where sometimes in his wisdom he causes troubles to come into our lives that seem huge, but compared to what he wants to give us in eternity, they're nothing at all. You see, if we understand what we have here in the kingdom of heaven, where Jesus rules as king in our lives and in our hearts, that's enough. Really, there's nothing more that you and I need. And the way I picture that is this full glass of milk. And the reason why I do this is in the Old Testament lesson for today, it's Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And it talks about Jesus being the branch, the shoot that comes from the stump of Jesse. And right at the end of that lesson in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, it says that Jesus, the one who comes from King David and his David's father, Jesse, from that line, that one who comes as king will raise a banner and the nations will rally to him and his resting place will be glorious. And I just was looking at that term, resting place, and I realized that the word resting place is used in the Old Testament as a name for the promised land, that God wanted a place for his people to rest. And in the busyness of our Christmas holiday preparations, to remember that our King has come to give us a place of rest. A place where, just like the nation of Israel was called the land flowing with milk and honey, so we also have everything that we need. We are just absolutely filled when we remember that as part of the kingdom of heaven, we are perfectly safe in his mercy, his protection, his wisdom, and his promise of eternal life. We're enough. There's nothing more that you and I need. But sadly, not everybody receives what the king wants to give. In the text, it says, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The term repent is the key to enjoying this contentment that we have in the kingdom of heaven. That if we have the kingdom of heaven, we have enough. But to have that contentment, John says, you need to repent. And You know, the classic definition of repentance is to change your mind about sin and about the Savior. I just want to use a different illustration of the idea of repentance. That repentance can be the idea that we empty ourselves. And I get that idea because in the gospel lesson, John talks to the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees and Sadducees also have a very, very full life. There's nothing more that they really need. They don't need everything that the king is coming to bring them. They're not coming out there confessing their sins and being baptized. They're coming out there and coming to be a judge of Jesus, or of John, and the promise of the Savior. And so John says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from their coming wrath? Don't begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" You see, in their mind, I have everything that I've got the right background. I'm enough just the way I am. And there's the temptation that we approach life that way as well. That somehow it all depends on what we do. That we have to fill the cup of our lives. And that we'll find contentment if we just do everything right. But the problem with that is if we're trying to fill our lives by our own efforts, by all the things that keep us busy, what happens is we are just making it impossible for the promises of the Savior to fit, because our lives are already full. And when Jesus comes and says, "I have something to offer you," it just kind of looks like a mess. Does anybody want a drink? So, what's the solution? Now, sad to say, especially at Christmas time, I'm fearful that some people would say, "You know, I've made a mess of my life. I've tried to be enough, to do everything that I'm supposed to do, and I'm just making a mess of my life. Maybe the solution is just to throw my life away." Is that perhaps why there are so many suicides at this time of the year? Why perhaps some of you here today are struggling with suicidal thoughts? "I've just made a mess of my life. I've tried the hardest I can. It's not enough. Maybe my life is just ruined and broken. It's worthless. I should just throw my life away." Or maybe it's not suicide. Maybe it's, "I'm going to try to deal with my pain by using alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever, somehow to dull the pain, to throw my life away in that way, since I can't be enough anyway." But what we're celebrating this Christmas season is that the King came not to destroy us, but to reach down into the garbage, clean us up. Oops, I just broke it. That's okay, because that's a good illustration. You see, the Savior comes to reach down when we're ready to admit, "I can't be enough." When we've emptied ourselves, and then we're ready to be filled with His promise of forgiveness and the promise that He has the power to make everything work out according to His good and gracious will, and that ultimately He has an eternal home prepared for us. Now, it's not leaking yet, but maybe once I've, ooh, there it is. And that's okay, because that's a great illustration of what happens to us. You see, Jesus fills us, right? We have enough. if we're forgiven, if we know that His power is at work for us, if everything's working out as He knows is best for us, even though we don't get it and we have an eternal home, that's enough. But those promises kind of leak out, don't they? And we're tempted to try to make up for it by filling our lives up with what we do. And again, the solution is not to just keep pouring more and more and more of our stuff into our lives. It's to empty ourselves, and now I'll have to use a glass that is not broke, and let Him fill ourselves again. Let Him fill our lives with everything that we need. That's the promise of the kingdom of heaven. So, how do you empty yourself so that Jesus can fill you? That's what confession of sins is all about. You know, the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 talks about the power of the sinful nature, the flesh within us. And I especially appreciate the middle section of this text where it talks about hatred and discord and jealousy and fits of rage and selfish ambition. It's like, did you look into some of our households at Christmas time? The sinful nature is powerful. How do we get to that point where we can say, Lord, just knowing You as King and that we are part of Your kingdom of heaven, that's enough for us. It's by coming again to texts like this, and we empty ourselves by confessing our sins. So let's do that right now. Let's just think about how we have tried to fill our lives and be enough, and let's just confess it and receive the filling of God's forgiveness. Please join with me. Lord Jesus, I am not worthy of Your kingdom. Even as I prepare to celebrate Your birth, I see the power of my own sinful nature. I have sinned against You by the attitude in my heart, by the way I have treated others, by sinful ways I have sought relief from the pressure of the season. Lord Jesus, have mercy. And I'm just going to pause and let you apply that to yourselves. What is it that troubles your conscience this Christmas season? What failure? What hurtful word, comment? What lack of trust? It is my privilege to announce to you that the King of Heaven is also the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Be filled with joy as you receive the Lord's mercy. You are forgiven. And we pray, Lord Jesus, I believe You have brought me into the kingdom of heaven. That is enough. Amen. And where that kingdom of heaven is, the Spirit is, because Jesus promised that He would baptize with the Holy Spirit. John said that somebody greater than him is coming after him. John baptized with water for repentance, but the one coming after him would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. That now that you and I are part of His kingdom, the Spirit is active here. The Spirit that produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, forbearance, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the reason why I read on, this is the same chapter in Galatians that talks about the power of the sinful nature that we had to admit, the power of the sinful nature that will make it so that we are never enough on our own. This chapter also talks about the power of the Holy Spirit with which Jesus baptizes us. He promises to connect us with His powerful Holy Spirit and work these miracles in our lives and hearts. And I love this picture because this can help us as we continue to prepare for Christmas. That as you are involved in the busyness of the season, when you see that there are things that you are worried about and things that you're focused on that are keeping you from producing this kind of fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness. If the people around you aren't seeing that fruit, let that be a call to you to remember that you're trying too hard, that you're thinking that you have to be enough on your own. And maybe go and talk to a Christian friend that you trust and love. Somebody that you can go to and just empty yourself out and admit what's stressing you out and be filled again with what only the King of Heaven can give you. Truly, it is enough if we have the King's mercy and power and wisdom and protection and the promise of a life that will never end. He's enough. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this should be the greatest time of the year. We're celebrating the coming of the King. And so often, it's just a time of incredible stress. And so we ask, we who are empty before you, we have nothing to offer you, nothing good enough for you, to come and fill us. Fill us with all that you are and have, so that we know we're enough and we can be content and truly celebrate your birth with joy. Lord, some of the tragedies that are happening in our world right now, the murders, the suicides, the broken families, the despair, oh, they remind us that there are so many people out there who are hurting. And so, as you fill us, Lord, let the fruit of the Spirit pour out from us into the lives of the people around us, that they might be drawn this Christmas season to see that the King of Heaven has come for them, and that as part of the Kingdom of Heaven, they are and they have enough. Let's stand and join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.